Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And so we're on a bye week this week, actually. We don't have a normal episode for you. We won't be discussing, I actually haven't seen anything that happened in wrestling this week because I have been moving, so I have not had the time.
There was a special episode, a special edition of wrestling last night, and I very joyfully was like, I won't be watching that. No one's going to call me on it.
I took no notes, but actually I did take notes like on Rampage and stuff just in case for next week, but I haven't watched any dark episodes and I felt great about it.
We're free. For all of us.
We're free girls.
Free. Dobby is a free elf. I know. I am excited to get caught up on Rampage discussion next week, especially after whatever the fuck happens tonight. But today, actually, what we have for you is, and do you want to introduce it?
Yeah, it's a very special vacation interview episode here. Last month, I was on vacation with my family, and I took the time to interview my younger brother, who's a longtime fan of wrestling, so he could explain some stuff to me about old-timey 90s wrestling and the Monday Night Wars and all kinds of stuff. So we had a fun conversation. He's like a more typical wrestling fan than me, so
I had a good time learning things. You don't think that we are typical wrestling fans?
Just a normal demographic, just, you know. Just, you know, women who found it 6 months ago or whatever. Yeah, so it's basically an interview with him. Do keep in mind that it was recorded like at the beginning part of July, because there's one point in the interview where he asked me, he says, there's this guy CM Punk, have you ever heard of him? And I'm like, yeah, kind of. But yeah, in the last month, I've heard about him every day, all day, constantly. I hear nothing but the name CM Punk. So FYI.
And tonight we find out
CM Punk is now.
If all of that was for something. So
that's true. It's Friday, August 20th, Rampage in Chicago. Yeah. So let's see.
So by the time you hear this interview, you'll know.
You'll know who CM Punk is. And in this interview, this interview will help you get there.
Exactly.
Edutainment.
That's right. So hope you guys enjoy it. It's my brother Chris Browder of the band Mansions. Give him a little shout out for his creative projects there. And I hope everybody likes it.
Enjoy.
Hey, so this is Anne, and I'm here with my brother, Chris Browder, who we're on vacation together. Hey, thanks for letting me interview you with my terrible interview skills.
Thanks for having me. Always an honor to be interviewed terribly.
Yeah, so we're just going to have him on as a guest, because I think of you as like more of like a typical wrestling fan than me, I guess. So not that you're like a typical wrestling fan.
Cliche wrestling fan. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm in maybe a more normal demographic.
Because you're like a dude in your 30s who like was a childhood fan of wrestling, right?
So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how old were you when you got into wrestling, would you say?
I was probably under 10, I would say. Yeah, maybe like 8 or 9, catching in on like Saturday mornings.
Oh, was it on Saturday mornings?
Yeah, there was like it's kind of like a clip show WWF, now WWE.
Cool.
So you could catch up on the stuff from the week, and it was kind of more for kids.
That makes sense. Yeah, like kid geared. Would they give you like the storylines? Like,
yeah, basically, and give you like highlights of what had happened and then like a couple other matches.
Oh.
They still do it. They still
It's probably like on YouTube or something?
Probably, yeah. I think maybe even on USA.
But I was kind of like, that sounds like a handy little service, actually. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't mind watching that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, because I remember, and I remember when you were, like, a little kid, because I'm older, I'm, like, 5 years older, like, you doing a lot of the moves and stuff around mm-hmm. the living room, like, is that, like, would you say, like, as a kid, like, that was a lot of the appeals, like, the pretending to be a wrestler and, like, jumping around, the diving onto the couch and stuff?
I don't know. I don't know what the appeal was necessarily as a kid. But, I mean, that'd be the same, like, I liked watching baseball and basketball, and it'd also right. be, like, you know, pretending to do that.
Yeah.
So I think that was, like, it just seemed like any other sport or okay. whatever.
So it kind of, like, went into the, like, sport fan part of your brain or whatever more than, like, I don't know, like, Saturday morning cartoons or something.
I think so. And I was always kind of more into that type of stuff than, like, Saturday morning cartoons anyway.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like, sports, it's all about the storyline. And even when I was right. a kid, like, I liked watching SportsCenter and that kind of thing where...
Yeah. Where they, like, sum up the storylines of the week, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I mean, even people who would look down on wrestling, like, that's what they like about football or,
right,
you know,
totally.
Following their sports team.
Right.
And so then it's, like... Especially when you're a kid, it's like, doesn't matter that one thing's fake and the other one's not.
Right,
like, it's all
yeah.
just the same.
Right.
And they're still, like, athletes doing stuff and they look cool and they
right.
seem
they're being
like
really
superheroes.
Physical. Or, yeah. yeah. Yeah, it's like, because wrestling, because they're all, like, in spandex and having, like, broad character, it's kind of like a sport slash superhero mm-hmm. combo, really.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of just, like, sports but with guaranteed drama to it.
Yeah,
you know?
I was thinking, like, in sports, like, the storylines don't always, like, pan out the way you would want them to
yeah.
narratively.
Yeah.
But in
and
wrestling,
you get like that one World Series every, you know, 5 years that mm-hmm. oh, it's, you know, has some team that's never won or whatever.
Right, yeah, with a good
yeah.
Yeah. Real life isn't quite as crafted, unfortunately.
Yeah, not quite as much. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, so like I know you were watching it like a lot. I feel like yeah, so like 8 to 12 range. Did you keep watching it as a teenager? I feel like I had gone away to college, so I was not like
no, I sort of felt once it got like pretty like mainstream popular and I got a little bit older. Yeah, probably like once I went to high school, I think I didn't really
yeah.
watch it anymore. Yeah. Yeah, once I just got into other stuff. Because I never really had any friends who liked it growing up or anything. It was just a thing
oh, yeah.
that I enjoyed.
Just you.
Closetly.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
yeah.
But then I had that moment in the late 90s when it got like really big. When like South
right.
Park got really big and stuff. And I was kind of like less into all that
yeah.
era of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like, and I have no idea. The 90s was a little bit, like, of a golden age of wrestling, right?
Yeah, the late 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Okay. And then it kind of sucked in the 2000s more. Is that the
yeah,
consensus?
After 2000, it started turning a little bit. Probably, like, my favorite year of wrestling would probably be, like, 1997.
Okay.
Which for most other people would probably be more, like, 98,
99. Okay.
which doesn't seem like that big of a difference. But
no,
like,
totally.
97 was a real, like, transitional year where things changed a lot after that.
Interesting. What was the... Was it companies changing or just, like...
Well, so there was all the competition between mm-hmm. WWF and WCW, the two
okay.
big companies.
Yeah.
And that was all kind of heating up in, like, probably 97. And then everyone got kind of, like, edgier and,
okay.
like,
yeah.
trying to be more controversial to get more... fans, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
actually, could you explain to me like the Monday Night Wars, because like I get them mixed up because WWE was WWF and then
yeah.
like in the WCW I'm like I can't remember which is which half the time.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is like not awesome. So it was like WWF is like now WWE,
right? Yeah.
And were they the like the one that had been around longer?
Yeah, they were like
okay.
the established one. I mean, there's like a long boring history of like wrestling was like a real territorial thing,
right?
And then WWF was kind of out of the Northeast and they like gradually bought up all the other ones.
Okay.
And so they were like the main one. They were mm-hmm. like, you know, Hulk Hogan and like
right.
all the popular stuff. And then WCW was in the South out of Atlanta.
Okay. So they existed prior to this, but just like regionally.
Yeah. And they had Sting and
okay.
this guy Ric Flair.
Oh yeah.
You've probably heard of
I've heard of Ric Flair.
Yeah.
I don't know what he looks like or anything, I don't think, but yeah.
Yeah. And then I forget like if Ted Turner like when he bought them or what, but you know, Ted Turner like
right. Of TNT
yes.
TBS fame.
Like,
yeah.
Billionaire
Turner
of
Network
a different
television.
Era. Yeah.
Right.
So he decided he wanted to get into the wrestling business. And
okay.
so he got WCW, put them on first on TBS,
Okay.
But then eventually they made a show called Monday Night, Monday, I don't know if it was Monday Night Nitro or just Monday Nitro, probably Monday Nitro.
Okay.
But so you can already see the parallels with like that.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And it was on TNT.
Okay. Oh, it was on TNT also.
Yes,
so.
On TNT with Tony Schiavone.
Okay. The oh, so he was a WCW guy.
He was WCW.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so they were like the upstart one. Vince McMahon had bought him up all the rest of them, but then they were like, Ted Turner's going to buy us and make us big.
Yeah, and they were like upstart but not cool.
Okay.
And one of the big things they started doing when Ted Turner had all this money was they would get these old washed up WWF guys, including mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan and okay. like the Macho Man.
Oh, who had like gone off of WWF. Like,
yeah, which that was like a big deal that they got them. And this was Hulk okay. Hogan, totally babyface, you know,
yeah.
eat your vitamins, say your prayers kind of guy.
Right.
and so they were doing that. And like the very first episode of Nitro, which was put head to head with Monday Night Raw. So that's mm-hmm. kind of the start of the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
And the very first episode, they had a guy, Lex Luger, who had been a big WWF star that like showed up in WCW.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of set the precedent for like, oh, this is going to be what's like happening and people jumping
right.
ship. And it's
yeah.
going to be dramatic. But so like WCW was doing that. They were always losing to WWF. Like, mm-hmm. in the ratings,
okay,
WWF
yeah.
was still kind of doing its thing, which was more kid-oriented, I'd
okay.
say.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to what they are like now.
So WCW, like, wasn't cool, but they were, like, a little more adult.
At this point, they weren't... They hadn't really differentiated themselves
okay.
that much.
They were just kind of like a bargain basement.
yeah.
yeah, like a knockoff version.
Yeah, they had some... There's other stuff that was going on, like Chris Jericho was there, where they had mm-hmm. these guys, the Cruiserweights, who were like smaller, more high-flying
oh, okay.
wrestlers.
Oh, cool.
Which Jericho was one of them, which is hard to imagine.
I know, that's very
small,
weird.
Like, high-flying guy, but
small, high-flying. He's
pre-dad bud.
Right,
Chris
yeah.
but then, like, the big thing that happened was these two guys who had been in WWF, who had gone by Diesel and Razor Ramon.
Okay.
They show up in WCW, but they're like dressed in street clothes.
Oh.
And they're using their real names.
Oh.
And they're like, you know who we are, but you don't know why we're here. And mm-hmm. we're here to beat up all the WCW guys because we think we're better. And it's this whole like, you know, obviously it's part of the show,
right.
but it like seemed very real and you didn't know like
yeah.
were they actually sent by WWF or what's going on.
Oh, okay. Well, that's funny.
And, so,
at this point, I guess, like, kayfabe was a little more... Everybody knew it was fake, though, at this point.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. I mean, people have known it was fake since, like, the 40s, but...
Well, right, but, like...
Yeah, but it was still... Yeah, kayfabe was more of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you were a, you know, more plugged-in fan, you might have already known what, like, the real names were.
Oh, right,
but it
yeah,
wasn't,
but,
like, the way that it is now, for
right,
sure.
Where it's very fluid.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But so...
That's cool. That would throw you, like, if you were like, is this WWF coming to... beat them up or
yeah.
what's happening
and
yeah.
like wrestling's always at its best when it's like this blend of reality and fake stuff.
Yeah, totally.
But so the big like event that happens is at a pay-per-view. They're like, all right, we're gonna do a match. It's gonna be us two and we have a third guy who's gonna show up and bring your best three WCW guys and we'll take them on.
Oh,
and so it's like Sting, I think probably Ric Flair, I forget if it was, and Macho Man going against Hall and Nash, but they show up and they don't have a third guy. They just show up. And so
oh.
I was like, what, like, you've been hyping up this third guy all the time. but they do the match. Of course, they, like, you know, cheat somehow.
Right.
And so then they're beating up the WCW guys. Everyone's getting pissed.
Right.
Because they truly had, like, heel heat, even though they were,
yeah.
like, cool. but so then Hulk Hogan shows up and he's here to save the day. And everyone's
oh,
like, oh,
man.
Yes, Hulk's coming in to beat them up. But no, Hulk turns out he's the third guy.
He's the third guy.
And he turns on them. Everyone flips out. It's
yeah.
like the best heel turn of all time. Because no one, like, he's never been heel his whole career.
Yeah.
It's like amazing. Like, people are throwing stuff at the ring. like you should watch it because it's just
yeah.
like, you can't imagine people being this genuinely upset. But so them doing that. They start this group called the NWO.
Okay.
Which you've probably seen,
I've
like, shirts
heard,
for.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the New World Order.
Okay, yeah.
but so that really, like, starts
Had Hulk Hogan been with WCW?
Yeah, for like a few years.
But he just turned to join up with
WCW. Yes, he just... And now he's Hollywood Hulk Hogan, wearing all black and has a black beard.
Nice. All black with a black beard.
Yeah.
That must have looked, was his hair still blonde?
Yes. Yeah, it's a very distinctive look.
Nice. Nice.
But so they start this thing, the NWO, which is like cool now. Mm-hmm. And they're like bad guys. And this was kind of like the era in the 90s where like bad guys started being
like the cool ones.
And they keep starting this whole thing where like more and more surprised people keep joining them. Mm-hmm. People keep turning from WCW. So there's always like all these twists.
Yeah.
And that's where WCW really starts like taking off.
Yeah.
And
that makes sense.
Forces WWF to where they have to start getting more edgy.
Right.
To try to compete.
A little more innovative. Yeah.
And like, so WCW for a long time was then beating WWF in the Monday Night Wars.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But then, so a ton of like the NWO stuff is also what you see like. The Young Bucks and like the brothers and stuff.
I was like, definitely like, this all sounds like familiar, like obviously like setting the tropes where it's like, yeah, you're like dyeing your beard a weird color and like doing a big turn.
Yeah. And even all the like the too sweet and the little like hand gesture. Yeah,
I know that's like their...
That's NWO stuff though.
Okay. Like yeah. Well, is that the one where it's like, the Young Bucks like got in trouble with Vince McMahon for like doing the gesture and the whole killing the business thing, or am I getting mixed up?
That could be. I know they're very like fans wrestling,
right?
You know, where
totally. Like, I feel like the whole generation of wrestlers now that are like in their 30s are like the generation that grew up as wrestling fans, so they're very like, deep in. That's very cool.
Yeah. And that's also when Sting became not the like surfer Sting character that he had been, because he was so like upset about NWO.
So he got,
I guess, like,
so he got beat up by NWO with Hulk Hogan turning.
Yeah,
that was Sting. And then in his defeat, he like, that's when he got sad.
I don't remember when exactly. Like, I think he stayed surfer for a while, but he did turn sad at some point with all the other WCW guys like joining NWO, and everyone wanted him to be the guy to like save WCW.
But
for a long time he was just this sad.
So he just went in the rafters and they were like, Sting, please save us, and he was like, I'm too sad.
Yeah, but then he did start, he would like come down to the ring, you know, on like a zip line kind of thing, right, with the baseball bat. And,
familiar with Sting's baseball bat, so
but eventually even he joined the NWO, like,
he joined
at a certain point, everyone had joined the NWO,
so
and it all kind
like...
of ran its course, and then WCW kind of died.
Okay, so they died just like, it just got worse and people stopped watching, or did like Ted Turner give up on it, or
it got worse and worse and more ridiculous?
And Tony Schiavone like was with them the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Sting and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, Sting was there like the whole time.
Okay.
And Ric Flair.
Cool.
And then at a certain point, I think the other executives in charge of TNT like did not like wrestling, did not like wrestling.
Yeah,
there's a long history of like people just not wanting wrestling on their TV station.
Yeah, it's very weird to have been like extremely not a fan of wrestling, been like, not for me, don't understand why this is a thing. So like, I totally get those executives, but now I'm like, guys, but it's pretty fun, guys.
Well, and it's weird when it's just like, if it's getting good ratings, like who cares what it
is? Sure, it's just filler between your ads.
But so eventually WWF, now WWE, bought them.
Oh,
and it was a surprise where no one knew, and then one night on Monday Nitro, Vince McMahon shows up.
Serious? Are you serious?
Bought them. Yeah.
Vince McMahon shows up saying he bought them.
Yeah.
If that happened to AEW, I would like lose my mind.
Oh, that'd be pretty bad. Yeah.
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 That's crazy. So then he just like folded them back into WWE.
Yeah, and they tried to like imitate the kind of like invasion piece of. And it never really worked.
Didn't really work. And then wrestling kind of got worse because it didn't have the competition. Is that sort of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And there's been no, like, real competition since then.
Because everybody else is just, like, the real small, like, New Japan or Impact or whatever,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. They were never at that level.
Yeah. When did WCW stop?
Yeah, it was early 2000s.
Okay.
Like, it was
so
not very
like...
long between it being, like...
Oh yeah,
and just like
in bottom. Yeah, so they had like a good 5-year run or something.
Yeah, basically.
And then it's been like the last 15 years with no competition for WWE, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, when did you start getting back into it after your like childhood run?
I got back into it. There was this guy, CM Punk, who you may have heard people always want him to come to AEW.
Oh, yeah. That sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah.
He was in WWE, and he did like a really great promo where he kind of like broke the fourth wall, and it got some kind of mainstream attention that then I came across, and I was like, oh, this is seems like there's interesting stuff happening wrestling now.
That's cool.
And then it was just like, I knew a couple other people in bands when we were on tour that were into it, and so you just hear things, and then, you know, you start watching some on YouTube, start it's a dabbling.
Little gateway drug. You're like, I'm just watching one YouTube clip.
Yeah, and then the WWE Network. It was cool because you could watch all the old stuff, and so that.
Oh yeah, right.
That sucked me in being able to watch a lot of the old stuff.
That's very cool.
And the next thing.
So it's just been like last 5 years or so, you'd say, or.
It's been longer than that now. That was probably like 2014 or something I started getting back into it. So
cool. Yeah, so a while. Yeah.
And it comes in and goes in phases.
Waves, you know, and stuff. But, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And then I know you like saw a bunch of like indie shows in Seattle you used to go to a lot, and seen a lot of the AEW guys there, right?
Yeah, like I'd always seen people talking online and stuff about these like indie wrestling shows, which seemed like really frightening and like,
right.
Like biggest nerds or like, you know, or like rednecks.
Right.
But yeah, there was one in Seattle that I had heard of where it was one of the first ones that Cody Rhodes went to after he left WWE.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. And so that was where I was like, oh, okay, this seems a little more legit than some other ones that were out there. And there's a couple other ones in town that are cool, but they're a little bit more comedy and like, and so this one of my other friends was interested in going where I wouldn't have gone by myself, but he thought it'd be funny. And so we went.
That's how they get you. You think it'll be funny, and then you're like, enjoyed it unironically.
And it was really intimidating to go, but then like everyone there is just super nice. Everyone's there because they think it's fun and are into it. Like no one's there to be cool.
Right. Yeah. I think that's one like thing about wrestling that's sort of interesting, because you do think of it as like I feel like there's like a class component where it's like this is very trashy or whatever people think, and but then it's like, but also like tough. You're like, am I like walking into like a biker bar or something? Yeah. But then it's like, no, wrestling fans like aren't tough at all. They're like a very gentle people of like nerds. It seems like a lot of it. Like,
and it was like in Seattle. Like,
oh right,
it's definitely totally it felt so much just like going to like a basement show of you know, where you're a little bit uncomfortable, but it's still just like nice people who like some weird thing that other people don't really like.
Just ready to be like enthusiastic about something that's not cool at all.
Yeah, and, exactly. Yeah,
which I feel like is a real like, just like a healthy thing to do, is like really like something really stupid, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that was part of me getting back into wrestling, where it was like when I had liked it when I was a kid, I knew it wasn't cool. And even once other people at school liked it, I still would never say that I liked it. Like, I thought it was like stupid like or whatever.
Secret thing.
But then getting back into it as an adult was a good, like telling anyone that I liked it felt like an important, like, you know, not having the like shame associated with it was valuable.
That's very cool. Well, that's super interesting, because I didn't really like, I knew like the Monday Night War stuff is really interesting, because like I knew, you know, Tony Schiavone was like a big deal announcer, but I like did not know he was with the rival promotion and stuff. Yeah. So that's like, and the same with Sting and stuff. So that.
Well, and then Jim Ross was the announcer on
the WWE, right? Yeah.
At the same time. So they were against each other.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Were there like Saturday night shows too? Because.
Yeah. Well, so that was more before like Monday Night Raw. There was this thing like Saturday Night's Main Event.
Okay.
But that was more like 80s. So I didn't really watch that. But then there were some other, like, there was the Sunday Night Heat show that was a weird one, but...
A lot of wrestling shows every day of the week. Shows,
yeah.
So did Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone, like, ever work together, or is it just at AEW?
I think they might have before, because Jim Ross had been at WCW, like, before that Like, a lot of these guys just moved back and forth. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, totally.
Like, even someone like The Undertaker, who's, like, a big WWE guy. Like, he worked in WCW before he went to there.
Oh, interesting.
But that would have been, like, the early 90s or something.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, if you get, I guess if you have a job in one specific industry and there's two companies, you kind of can work at both.
Like. Well, and that was the biggest thing about all of it, was just it was good for people to have a good option.
Right.
And with WCW with Ted Turner, who was kind of willing to pay like any amount.
Yeah,
so people would just leave to go get a ton of money. And then...
It is very funny that it's like an industry very subject to the whims of billionaires.
Mm-hmm. And then they're all independent contractors.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's very messed up. Yeah, for sure. I like get concerned about all their health insurance options and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's cool. So like some other people that are like in AEW now, I think we were talking about like what's Vicky Guerrero's deal?
Yeah, like, yeah. So I like missed her a little bit where she was in the early 2000s, but there was this other guy, Eddie Guerrero, who he was one of these cruiserweights with Chris Jericho in WCW. Okay.
Flippy guys.
Yeah, so that's where I knew him from because he was like this small Latino guy who was pretty amazing, but you would never think he's going to be like a big star. Mm-hmm. Same with Chris Jericho.
Interesting.
But then both of them came over the WWE in the early 2000s at just like a weird time where suddenly they were like able to.
Oh yeah. Because it was like a little bit of a lull, kind of almost like some of the. Big
I don't know what it was. Yeah, or if it was like post like steroid era. Oh. Well, but they were into steroids, so I don't know. But so this guy Eddie Guerrero got real big, and you know he's known as one of kind of the best of all time. And his wife was Vicky Guerrero, and I think she was on TV like while he was still wrestling. But then he died kind of tragically, so then it was kind of cool that WWE like kept her character like going.
Yeah,
like
that's very
giving
cool.
her like a job. But her whole gimmick is just being really annoying.
Right, yeah. Which she does very well.
Yeah, and she's been doing that for a long time. Because I missed it when she was really doing it in the early 2000s. But then, you know, 5 years ago, she would show up in WWE and be super annoying with excuse me gimmick.
Do you think, did they keep her around, like, kind of just, like, supporting the widow of somebody who died?
I think that's a lot of it. Yeah. Where as like bad as WWE is, they are like pretty good at supporting people long term. Where like, you know, they won't give people health insurance.
Right.
But they will like pay for someone's rehab when they've been out of WWE for 30 years, you know.
Interesting. Like, that's a weird combo.
There's a weird kind of loyalty about it.
Yeah. Well, I can see that like with Brody Lee, who died, and then like his kids gets to be, you know, on TV all the time. And it's just like really sweet that they're like really supporting the family and stuff. So
yeah,
that's cool that WWE does that too.
Yeah.
So that's weird. So she was never like a wrestler or anything.
No, she's been in some matches.
Right.
But yeah, she's not a wrestler. And so her name, like the Guerrero name, is like really like well-known and important in wrestling.
Makes sense. Yeah. Or a lot of these like family dynasty things,
yeah,
right?
So much
like
of family.
Yeah. Like the Rhodeses being like.
Yeah, they're a big one.
Did you watch like Cody's dad? Do you remember?
Yeah. Well, so in the Monday Night Wars, he was more of a commentator at that point in WCW.
Okay.
And he's like, you know, kind of synonymous with like Southern wrestling too.
Okay.
So even he had been in WWF. But then there's all these stories that they kind of did him dirty because he had been one of their rivals before.
Oh,
and so they
never
really wanted him to be a top guy.
Interesting.
But yeah, he was like an amazing commentator because his whole thing was just being like really good at talking.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Cody's gotten that so much.
No, Cody kind of sucks.
He really does suck.
It's been interesting because in WWE, he was just totally a mid-tier guy. And, like, he's kind of meant to just be a mid-tier.
Yeah, it's very weird to have him at the top. Yeah, because he's really not. He feels like a try-hard to me, like, where it's, like, I don't know, a lot of pyrotechnics to try to cover, like...
And he thinks he's cool, and he's...
Yeah.
Like, his good gimmicks in WWE were stuff where he, like, wasn't very cool.
Yeah.
Like, he had a mustache for a while.
One of my friends, or Leah on the podcast, watched, like, every episode of Being the Elite, like, the Young Bucks YouTube show,
Cody
was in it, but she said, like, he's most likable when he... Because he'll let himself be, like, the butt of the joke, that Cody's likable, but like Cody trying to be like a cool wrestling guy is just like ugh.
Yeah, but Dustin, he. Do you know about Goldust?
No.
So he had been in WCW, and then he came to WWF, and he was this character Goldust that was this like Hollywood cross-dressing guy. He'd wear this gold spandex, and he had like a long blonde wig, and would wear gold face paint.
Huh.
And it was like very mysterious and he had a manager named Marlena that was this really scantily clad woman wearing gold dresses, and his whole thing was this like Hollywood, like he'd speak in like movie quotes and stuff like that.
Wrestling's so weird.
But it was this, he was like sort of a heel, but he mainly would like get in the head of all these other wrestlers by like playing on their homophobia, basically.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like, what years was this?
This was, like, 97.
Okay.
Where it was sort of offensive. Like, when I've watched back on it, I'm sure people would call it offensive now.
Right.
But it was sort of, like, he was kind of a heel.
Mm-hmm.
But not enough. Like, he was, but I didn't think of him as a heel. Like, it just seemed like he was smart playing mind games.
Oh, yeah.
With these macho guys, like, acting like he was going to kiss them, and they would, like, freak out at him. Oh, but he wasn't actually, like, his character wasn't gay, though, either.
Oh.
So it wasn't like he actually was... It was just a really interesting character. You should go back and watch it.
Yeah, I'll have to. I feel like that, like, late 90s stuff, it was, like... gay people were like more, you know, you're getting into like Will and Grace or like the lesbian couple on Friends and stuff, but everybody was real anxious about it and making a lot of weird jokes, like where like those late 90s jokes like don't hold up well. When you rewatch, you're like, how's that funny? Like, that's just, they're gay as a fact, that's not like a punchline.
And they definitely like played on it where he'd be heel and people would, you know, in the crowd be yelling like the F word at him and stuff like that, which was terrible. But then he also wasn't actually meant to be a gay character, so it was like a very weird,
interesting
balance. But
I feel like sometimes that stuff, like, people look back and it's like, that was really problematic, but it's like, but also, like, they were having gay characters, which was a big deal at the time. So like, although it sounds like he wasn't a gay character, but I don't know, it just gets like complicated how all that stuff worked in like 97.
Well, there's much more nuance than you would expect from
WWE, yeah,
because this was still when they were having people be like, I'm a trash man, so that's my character. Like,
my gimmick is, yeah, that's interesting. Mind games.
But so that's where I know Dustin from, because that was one of my favorite wrestlers.
That's really interesting. Good. I would not expect that. I know he does like a lot of like he's kind of in charge of the women's division at AEW. He does like a lot of mentoring and stuff, and they really like him, so that makes me like him, even though I don't, you know, he's like fine when he wrestles. Like,
yeah, I'm not as into this. Current himself character.
Yeah, right. It's like, I don't even know what his gimmick is. Like, nothing. Just, you know, some face paint. He kind of supports Cody, I guess. But
yeah, whatever.
Yeah. What do you think makes for, like, a good heel versus a good face?
That's a good question. Like, it's... I think it's a lot easier to be a good heel than a good baby face. Just because, like...
It's easier to get people to hate you than to like you.
Yeah. Yeah. But usually... I don't know. I kind of think... people are usually naturally one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, where, like, people like the Young Bucks and Kenny, like, he's just,
hate look at Kenny's hair. How is he supposed to be a baby face?
Like, his face.
Yeah. It's got a very punchable energy.
Yeah. But I think the people who are the best are where it's the same character and you're just turning it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
you sort of emphasize different things.
Yeah. And, like, usually I think Jericho is one of the best at that.
Yeah.
Although I was kind of disappointed with their recent, like, face turn, because then suddenly he's, like, complimenting the crowd, and it's like, no, that's like, not that's your, not... why would you suddenly start doing that?
Yeah. No, whereas... we get really mad at, like, the Chris Jericho supposedly a face, because it's like, it's clearly wrong. Like, he can be the one you're rooting for here, but he's not, like...
Yeah. And, like, the stuff he was doing before was, like, funny, so you could do, like, that same stuff and just have it where you're not, like, cheating in matches, and you can be, like, a natural...
Yeah.
Like, there have been some other groups that have been, like, really good at that. Like, there was this one, The New Day, that they're a tag team in WWE. And first, when they started, they were meant to be babyfaces. Mm-hmm. But everyone hated their gimmick, because their gimmick was really stupid. And so they just, like, leaned really hard into the gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
So when then people would start chanting that they sucked.
Yeah.
And so they kept just, like, leaning into that harder, where then at a certain point it's like, oh, clearly you guys are, like, heels now.
Right,
like,
yeah. This. Oh, that's interesting.
But then people loved that so much. Like, they were so likable doing that that then people started
veering back around. Yeah.
And then they just, like, slightly tweaked it, and now they're baby faces.
Oh, you know? Interesting.
Like, they just wouldn't be calling the crowd, like, ugly anymore.
Right.
And now they're baby faces.
That's super interesting. I feel like that interplay with the crowd is so interesting, where you, like, try something out and then you're like, oh, they hate it. But if we keep doing that, then it's good, because that's, like, a established lane we can be in.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, like, I've seen with, like, Britt Baker on AEW where, yeah, like... Yeah. Like, she's an amazing heel, but also, like, everyone, like, she's so cool and, like, people are into it. Yeah. So you can feel the crowd, like, sometimes wanting to cheer for her, but then being like, but we're not supposed to.
Yeah. And she's one, like, when she first was coming out in AEW and was meant to be a babyface, you're like, she seems kind of annoying. Like, right. I don't really want to root for her.
Yeah.
But now she's so good as a heel, yeah. It's going to be really easy for her to turn it into being a babyface.
She could flop
later.
Back, yeah, real easily. Yeah.
Yeah, because now she's amazing. Like,
yeah, she's so good at it. And it's really funny, too, because it's like, she's a dentist. Like, why did you ever try to make her a face? Like,
yeah, totally. Those are inherently heels.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like you can really see her, like, coming into, like, just being really, really good at it, or you're just like, yeah, that's fantastic. Like,
well, it's got to be so fun to do. Just people just hating you.
Seriously. Well, and then you can just say like the meanest things anyone's ever said, and it's so funny. Like,
stuff that you would never get away with.
Yeah, right? Like MJF on Twitter will just be like so mean.
He's got the most fun job. Yeah. Of anybody.
Yeah. Where's the faces? But it is interesting. I feel like I haven't seen as much swapping, like, obviously, as, like, you have over the years and stuff.
Yeah.
So it is interesting how people, like, manage to, like, do that.
Yeah. Well, and it'll be interesting seeing how AEW rolls with it. Because, like, one thing WWE is historically not very good at is that they seem to get it in their head of, this guy is a heel or it's a babyface. So even if everyone's booing him, we're not going to turn him.
Yeah.
And so somebody like Miro... He was this guy, Rusev, in WWE, and he's just, like, so charismatic and, like, funny, like, inherently funny the way that he does stuff.
Yeah.
That he was originally this
Have you seen lately where he's been, like, I'm God's favorite wrestler? Yeah. It's so funny. Yeah,
like, he just, like, says stuff. But he had been this big, like, monster heel and then kind of, like, became funnier and people liked him a lot. And he was really popular that way. But they just, like, wouldn't just roll with it and make him a big baby face. And
interesting.
So I think that was a big part of him, like, leaving because he was just kind of stuck.
That makes sense. Especially where, like, people must, like, get bored of, like, just doing the one thing, too. Like, especially as your character kind of evolves or, like,
the crowd gets sick of it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, AEW seems fairly nimble so far, but, like, you know, it's been, like, whatever, 18 months or something.
Yeah,
like,
and it'll be different once they actually have, like, a big crowd again.
Yeah, totally.
That is, you know, when it's someone like Kenny Omega that you're...
Right.
If you're trying to have him be a big face and people reject it, what do they really do, you know?
Right, yeah, it must throw you... It's so weird how wrestling has to, like, manage their storylines, like, very much, like, in real time with, like, the crowd as part of their...
Yeah.
Cast of characters, kind of, but they can't control it.
Yeah, totally.
So, like, WWE, like, they don't have, like, tunnels or anything that are, like, here's the heels and here's the faces.
No, there's just an entrance and they all just come out of it. Yeah.
Do you feel like... But I don't think, like, AEW isn't more... Like, they don't have heels and faces, like, more defined than WWE does, right?
No, I think they're just more... their fan base is more... have you heard the term smarks?
More smarky.
Yeah, and so, like, even in promos and stuff, or even that they'll, like, call it promos sometimes, like, that would never happen.
Oh, they didn't call them promos?
Because that's, like, inside baseball lingo.
Right.
Like,
oh, interesting. So it's like, we're just interviewing our sports stars after the sports matches.
Yeah, and why would, they're not heels or faces, they're just wrestlers.
Right.
Like, they're not...
We're not making good guys and bad guys. That's crazy. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And so I think AEW has been smart in that they know that it makes people feel kind of cool when they're in the lingo. And like half of the fun of wrestling is all the lingo.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the whole world.
Yeah, so they like play into that a lot more than WWE does.
That makes sense.
For better or for worse.
Yeah. I know, I think when we were talking about, like, WWE, you said that it felt like after a while, they kind of hated their fans.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Do you feel like, what kind of vibe is it, or what kind of things do they do that make it feel that way?
They just, I mean, I imagine it's kind of the way that, like, George Lucas feels about Star Wars fans.
True.
Where they're never
satisfied. Very understandable, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I think the trouble with, like, the internet and stuff when you're watching things is that it's really easy to fantasy book these, like, amazing...
Right.
Storylines that wouldn't probably wouldn't work in reality.
Right.
But then it sets you up to be disappointed by what actually happens.
Right, yeah.
And so then I think WWE has seen enough of that, that they just think when people are disappointed or mad about something that they've kind of done it to themselves. Just need to trust us. And
right.
Which, like, I think there's some truth to that.
Right.
But also they do a lot of unsatisfying stuff, like, regularly. Yeah.
So it's like they get so much, like, noise feedback of just people being annoying that they can't hear.
They just,
like,
don't listen
actual,
to it at all. Yeah.
Good feedback. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think even hearing from people who, like, have worked there and stuff,
mm-hmm.
there's just, like, a long history of different wrestlers where it was like, oh, this is clear that this person is a heel. Everyone hates this person. We need to turn them heel. But Vince McMahon would just be like, no, it's a baby face. Why would we do that? And so, yeah. And that's happened with, like, this guy Roman Reigns, who's there, but it also happened in the 90s with this guy, like, Shawn Michaels, and, like, when they finally do it, it really works.
Yeah.
But up until then, it's just, like, this stubborn kind of...
Sometimes when you have, like, one rich and powerful old person who's been running, it's kind of like Lorne Michaels at SNL, I feel like, where it's just kind of, like, you have one king, and they've aged, and they've been doing this a long time, and they kind of... I don't know.
And there's definitely a balance to it, because you can just listen to the fans and react to them,
going
to put you on in all these terrible corners that it's not going to be good at all.
I do think it's awful when, like, content creators, I guess, but, like, showrunners and stuff, like, pay too much attention to Twitter and stuff. It's like, please don't, like, pander, like, try to,
But there's a balance, like, it's still the people who are consuming your stuff. If they're telling you it sucks, like, then it does.
Right, yeah, exactly, if your ratings are going down and stuff.
Yeah.
I can see how the competition, like, helps a lot just to keep them, like, trying, I guess.
But... Yeah, and there's an alternative, too, where it's, like, a lot of the people complaining about WWE stuff, it's like, well, you're a guy in your 30s, and it's... basically a kid's show. So
well, it's just kind of Star Wars fans also, where it's these are children's movies.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And, like, AEW is less of a kid's show, so then it's like, this could be the thing for you. And the same with NXT, where it's like, this is their show for wrestling nerds.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. So it's kind of like, I know it's like their developmental show too, but it is more like the wrestling nerd show kind of.
Yeah, it's more focused on wrestling. It's more old school. Vince McMahon isn't really involved in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's real interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned Roman Reigns, because I know, like, Jon Moxley and AEW is, like, part of the Shield and stuff. Shield,
right.
Yeah. Does it, like, get weird when those stables, like, break up, or, like, one of them goes to a different promotion, but, like, the other guys are still there? Or...
It's always... I mean, that's the kind of thing with, like, any faction... is that you're sort of just waiting, or even any tag team, like, you're waiting for when they're going to break up.
Yeah.
Because it's usually going to happen at some point. And it can be amazing when it does. Like,
right.
And usually when it does, there's kind of, like, one breakout star from it.
Yeah.
And there was this tag team back in the day called the Rockers that was this guy, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. And one of the, like, most famous heel turns in history was where Shawn Michaels... I forget if he actually threw Marty Jannetty or someone else through a barbershop window at this segment. And turned heel. And Shawn Michaels became the breakout star, where he's now, like, one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And Marty Jannetty didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
So you're always kind of wondering who's the Jannetty of the group and who's the Shawn Michaels. But then the Shield was a rare one where they were totally on top. They did not need to break up the team at all. And then one of the guys turned on the others. And
Who turned on?
Seth Rollins. And I think people, when the Shield was together, people used to talk about who the star was going to be. And Roman Reigns was a clear one. But Moxley was, like, such a good talker that people thought he could be.
Super good.
And then people probably thought Seth Rollins was the least likely. But then, since he was the one who broke him up, he had a really great run as a heel.
Interesting.
He became a big star, and Ambrose became a really big star on his side, and Reigns. So it's like all
three of them actually managed to do a thing. Interesting.
But it was awkward, and, like, Roman Reigns was still using their music and wearing the same stuff until, like, a couple years ago, and this happened, like, a long time ago.
That's so interesting. Yeah, who gets the music? Is there, like, a custody dispute? Or, like, they should get new music?
I mean, it should be no one. Like, it should just be, okay, now you're on your own, you do your thing.
Right, but yeah.
It was like they were... because they were still trying to make Roman Reigns be the big thing. So,
right, like, yeah. Well, and he's still kind of like the big guy at WWE, right? Or
yeah, and he's like the ultimate example of WWE wanted him to be this big babyface, mm-hmm. kept presenting him that way as the underdog who always overcame the odds.
Yeah.
Everyone hated it because you could see it coming from a mile away.
Right.
And he kept winning all these big matches and everyone would just boo him out of the room and they would do like anything
That's
they could.
It's crazy that they keep doing it when people are like booing when he wins. It's like at a certain point, isn't that like embarrassing to you as like a booker?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So there was this one Royal Rumble that's like a big thing where you don't know who's going to win, but then it became clear at a certain point that Roman Reigns was going to win. Everyone was already mad about this Royal Rumble because of other stuff that had happened with other people they wanted to win. And then it's down to Roman Reigns and Miro at the end, who was like straight heel at that point. Mm-hmm. Like no one should be going for him, but everyone's going
for Miro
to try to win. Yeah. And then Roman Reigns wins, of course. They had The Rock come in because he's cousins with The Rock.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they had him come in to celebrate. Everyone loves The Rock, but everyone's just booing him like crazy.
That's nuts.
And that went on for like 5 years until they finally turned him heel.
That's
and he's great as a heel.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Made to be
people
a heel.
Are right. Yeah. It is funny how different people have like a different. They just have an energy that veers one way or the other. Really.
Yeah. Very few people are really meant to be a babyface, but.
Well, it's hard to like be likable all the time, just as a human being, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you're a wrestler.
Yeah, if you're like a big guy, like somebody like Jungle Boy or something, it's like
right. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Moxley is a natural heel or face? He's like.
That's a good question.
I don't even know. I feel like he's nothing almost. Yeah.
He's so
not a natural heel. Yeah.
I think he's more of
a face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's really charismatic and.
Yeah, like he seems like he'd be fun to hang out with.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He's got like that weird, like he has got that like cadence to his voice that's very like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's been doing that forever. Like if you watch his old stuff from when he was on. Yeah.
It's very weird to see him when he was like a little, like
a little
young
baby.
Yeah, look really different.
Yeah,
he's only like 34 or something now. It's crazy. Like,
really crazy.
Well, I think we got through a lot of topics.
Yeah.
We probably talked for long enough. This was awesome. We'll have to get you back.
Great to have me.
Thanks for explaining all this wrestling stuff that I don't understand to me. It's been a great resource.
Anytime. That's
yeah.
What I'm here for.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here. And this has been Anne on Tunnel Talk Interviews, I guess. So thanks. We'll talk to you later.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. I haven't really been in the show, but I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week to find out what happened with CM Punk. We're probably the only place you're going to hear about it. So check in here. This is where you're going to get that news.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.